you're looking for one of the most beautiful and playable custom acoustics on the planet, look no further than Ed Rice at Toe Ear Guitars. Ed is a true artist, transforming exotic woods into magnificent, sweet-sounding instruments. Go to toeearguitars.us, that's toeearguitars.us, and contact Ed today.
Hey everybody, Brad and I want to say thank you for listening and thank you for the support. Please continue to listen and share this podcast on all platforms that you can.
And if you'd like to support us monthly, we're set up now where you can go to anchor.fm/Top Hill Recording, hit the support button, 99 cents, $4.99 or $9.99 per month. Any amount would be greatly appreciated. Now back to the podcast. Top Hill Recording Podcast, episode 137. What's up, Neil?
What's up, buddy? 137.
Second podcast of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, third drink.
So we've already had, we had some Blantons earlier today, and now we're on Jefferson's Ocean. We've got two.
And you should have brought out some really, really crappy bourbon, because the Blantons already has you, you know, the palate warmed up, so you could have just...
You know, I don't know about this Jefferson's Ocean.
That's what he's saying. It's not there.
Let's let our guests introduce themselves. We got an interesting podcast. It's our first book.
Oh, wait. But what I did want to say is episode 137, one of our guests was on episode 30.
Was it that long ago?
Episode 30.
See, Melissa, shame on you. It's been way too long.
Yeah. No.
I can't believe it's been that long.
107 episodes ago. But, you know.
That's 2 years ago.
It was August of 2020, so this will be, it is actually like just after the 2 year anniversary of that, but I would say that we've gotten quite a few guests from Melissa as well. Yeah. That's been amazing, so we've always kept in contact, but 107 episodes ago, she was one of our first, you know, we were super excited to have her. It was like, man, somebody from Nashville wants to talk. This is going to be amazing. So thank you for,
thank you.
Opening some doors for us and welcome back.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're so welcome. And congratulations on coming so far, guys. That's amazing.
Thank you.
I don't know where the time goes. But I am Melissa Bolero. I am a songwriter, a publisher, and an author.
All right.
Jack of all trades.
Welcome back, Melissa.
Oh, and I'm going to jump in here. I'm Dr. Sarah. I'm a pediatric neuropsychologist who studies the brain and helps talk about raising good kids, either in schools or at home. So, you know, we are excited to be here with this new project today.
I don't feel qualified to be in this conversation.
Neuropsychology.
That is amazing.
Yeah. We're going to learn something today, Neil. I can already see that.
So, Melissa, while you were gone there for a second, and we were introducing ourselves to Dr. Sarah, I had to kind of let her know, you know, this is kind of nerve-wracking for us. Normally, we know what we're getting into. We have listened to or have researched a little bit about the person that's coming on. And, you know, we've kept track of you and all the things that you've been doing, Melissa. But, you know, this is out of our realm. So we're kind of nervous. I'm kind of nervous on our end. And we didn't get to read the book. So you are going to have to totally fill us in and lead the way in this conversation for sure.
Well, we'd be absolutely happy to. We're super excited. In fact, today is release day of the musical imprint.
Oh, awesome.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We're so pumped about it. There are a total of 24 authors, 22, including Sarah and myself. And every single author that has contributed a chapter to this book is absolutely amazing. And I'm going to let Sarah tell you a little bit more about the music and the brain connection and how impactful these stories are, and give you a little bit more of an overview of this book.
Yeah, right. I would absolutely love to. And at first, I have to say Blanton's all the way, guys. Yes, no doubt. Discussion about that. But besides that point, yeah, you know, I think it's always funny when we start talking about this book because people are kind of like, "What? How did a pediatric neuropsychologist and a songwriter from Nashville connect over something?" But I really think that that's the power of this project and this book. You know, the power of music is this connection. And, you know, I'm so interested in it from a brain perspective, how it's such a whole brain experience, how we can make such an imprint on our lives and change the course of things. And I think Melissa, from the songwriting standpoint and from the power of it emotionally, the connection in that way. And, you know, we just kind of followed that path. And then this project was born. So you said you were a little out of it today, not sure where we're going to lead you. We didn't know where this project was going to go either, but we're so, so proud of all the authors in it and the place that we've landed.
So two podcasts ago, I don't even remember how it came up, but we got into a conversation about the way memories are tied to music, like how you can hear a song and it takes you back to that moment. It was interesting because we had that conversation. It just came up organically. And now here we're talking about music in the mind.
Music is just so powerful in that way. You know, I think it's such a neat idea. So interestingly, all the senses kind of go through the center of our brain. Smell is the only one that doesn't. So smell is usually the one that we smell something and we feel a memory right away. Mm-hmm. But music just has this power. It's kind of an all sense kind of stimulation to the brain. And it just goes right for those memories. You almost can feel exactly where you were and see it, and hear it, and even smell it, I guess, in that sense.
Mm. So, you know, it's so tell me about how, you know, the brain connection here, because I always thought of it this way. It's almost the opposite. I always felt like I was in this situation, living this moment with some connection to people or some connection to something. You know, I had this connection going on in life. And because that song was playing during this time in my life when I have these connections going on around me, I felt like that's what made the music important. Like, is it the music first? Or is it what's happening along with that song? Or is it just a complex combination of all of the above?
Oh gosh, this is like the chicken and the egg question.
Yeah, yeah.
And from a songwriter standpoint, you're probably going to get the answer of it's just pure magic. From the brain gal, you're going to get a different answer.
I know. Well, it is, I guess, magic in a sense. You know, all of the connections in our brain are energy, right? They're all electrical impulses, chemical impulses. That's the way our brain connects. So on some level, it is magic. You know, Melissa's absolutely right. And I think that it really is this, somehow it gets into our emotion centers of our brain. So the emotion center is called the amygdala. I call her Amy G because she's just so emotional. And really, anytime she hears music, you know, she goes. I picture like a pufferfish kind of. So anytime, you know, she's stimulated, she goes poof. And the rest of our brain gets to deal with the reaction to that, whether that be positive or negative or just kind of this deep connection. And so I do think it's a little bit of a chicken and egg question when you bring it up that way, but I do believe that music has this power to really stimulate your whole brain and differently in different people too, you know? So from Melissa's perspective and my perspective, our brains actually experience music differently because we know musicians actually use a different part of their brain than I would as a layperson to listen to music. So when she's listening to music, she's using more of the back of her brain, the occipital lobe, which is more of the visual cortex. So she's actually probably visualizing music more. And then when I listen to it, we've seen from studies that it's more of another lobe, a temporal lobe. So it's more about listening and understanding music than it is about seeing it. So just even that subtle difference in the way we approach music, our brains actually respond differently. I just find it so cool. Clearly, I could talk about
that. That's fascinating. That's unbelievably fascinating. Does a certain area of the brain, while listening, say like Melissa being visual, so she actually is either of them more emotionally connected?
Well, emotions tell us what to remember and what to forget. So if you think about it, the things that you remember actually have some emotional value to them. So mm-hmm. if that music is touching you emotionally, you're going to remember that a lot more. So I think it's a matter of the amount of connection your brain has to that music as to whether, you know, how it impacts you.
Huh. So it doesn't necessarily matter if you're a visual thinker and like Melissa with thinking about music and the performance aspect and the artistic aspect or listening.
Or you, Neil.
You
Neil
still
is
can
a
get
musician,
that same emotion.
And so is Brad. Mm-hmm. Oh. They both are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We listen too, though.
I know. We definitely listen, but I bet you experience it a little bit differently too, because you're not just experiencing, you know, you experience in probably even more of a whole brain way than me, because I'm sure that on some level you see it in a different way, you know, and that I think that that's phenomenal. And for deep memories, you know, things that are really emotional to me or those time periods you guys were talking about where you had something happen and you experience music at the same time, you know, that's more visual for me, but everyday music isn't as visual as it probably is for all of you.
Mm. I mean, your emotions are definitely tied to music because you think about a movie, say a sad movie, and you could watch the same scene with no music and it wouldn't impact you at all. Mm. But then they put that, you know, sad, sappy music, movie music in there, and it just pulls at the heartstrings. You know,
that's why Hallmark. Yeah, that's why Hallmark movies are so good, man. They got
that's
good
why
music.
That's why we musicians fight for better pay, because we feel like the music is everything in the movies, and it's always the thing that they're like, well, they just ironically didn't budget for it. But truly, I think the music is always. I mean, you remember scenes. I mean, legendary scenes. From movies because of the music. I mean, what would it be like to see what's his name dancing around in his underwear without the music behind it? You know who I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking
Tom
about.
Cruise?
Come on. Tom Cruise, yeah. How
Risky
could
Business,
my
come
He's
on.
Got a, Risky Business, there you go. I mean, what would Risky Business? I mean, he'd just be looking really silly without the music behind him, sliding into the hallway, dancing in his underwear.
Somehow I think it'd still fly.
Hell yeah, that's Maverick.
Yeah, that's true. I was going to say earlier, Sarah, you were talking about Amy G and how she was like a puffer fish. And I was thinking to myself, you might want to reconsider her name and her Melissa B. I think it's actually very fascinating, though, when she describes these things about what happens, because it is really, I mean, it is fascinating, but it is also textbook. It's really amazing in how you can educate yourself on your emotions and, you know, and how the music and all that just ties together. And music is such a strong communicator. It's so healing for us. I mean, think about all the things that music, you know, can get us through. It can get us through loss. It can get us through breakups. It can get us, you know, I mean, pump us up when we're celebrating. I mean, there's a reason that song Celebration is at every single wedding, right? When are we going to get another Celebration song?
No
I don't
kidding.
Know if that one will ever be replaced, but... Yeah, music is just so important. And so we're hoping, one of the things that we talked about early on was that there are lots of books out there on the effects of music on the brain. There's some brilliant books out there, but there weren't too many books or any books to our knowledge where people were actually telling those stories. And so we wanted to tell those stories. And that's what we've done in this book. Each author has contributed a story about a time in their life that a song has profoundly affected them. And it's really quite amazing, these chapters. I mean, they really take you on an incredible journey through these authors' lives.
And how many authors are there? 34?
22, right?
24.
24. 22
plus Sarah and I.
Mm-hmm. That's 24.
22 plus two.
Yeah. So 24 different authors, but with a real in-depth, you know, story about something that has affected their life. Is there a through line other than the theme that music and emotion, is there some type of through line through all this that you can kind of gather once you put all these stories together that maybe caught you by surprise?
I think for me, you know, music can do more for you than 8 weeks of therapy, 8 years of therapy, for goodness sakes. And I think what really struck me when reading all of these stories is just the pivot points that you find throughout people's lives, or that one moment that really sticks out for them that either changed the course of their life or made the course of their life in some way. And for me, that's what it's all about. You know, I raise brains for a living. I help people do that. And this project really just embodies everything that we strive to help people towards. The idea that you can connect over something, that you can do a passion project, that you can read these themes throughout people's lives, and that this one song really touched them. And there's such a range in here. I mean, there's everything
from
pop. Yeah, the Humpty Dance. You know, there's Taylor Swift is in here. Climb Every Mountain is in here. I mean, so many.
Lang Syne. Yeah. The common thread for me, it would be once again, the power of music. I mean, really, I think at the end of the day, and we all know this, but it's just one more verification and validation of how powerful music is. Because, and then like Sarah said, you know, putting together this project was more than just, it's almost hard to put it into words, actually, is why I'm struggling, because last night we were talking with all the authors and I was getting very emotional. So, you know, you hear that saying, or there's a saying out there that says, you know, music speaks when the words can't type of thing. And that might be part of it. And then the other, I don't know if it was Bob Dylan, but one of the greats, or somebody said once that, you know, you could sing a song to 10,000 people and they would all sing the same song back, this song back to you, but for 10,000 different reasons. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's the magic of a song. And even though sometimes lyrics might be specific to the composer, to the artist, typically they're universal enough that we can all connect in some way. So even though the songs in this book and the stories are very specific to what that author was going through, I guarantee you that maybe this song, like for instance, one of the songs in here is "Auld Lang Syne" by Dan Fogelberg. And to me, that's a timeless favorite that I bet you we all can sort of hear that song and connect to somewhere, someplace, or someone. Mm. And so it's neat just reading his story, David's story in here about how he's connected to the song, and then just having your own little wow moment, like I have a similar different connection as well. So, I mean, we could have probably filled this up with thousands of stories, to be honest with you. This is just volume one.
I was actually going to ask, how in the world did you choose the authors? Was that something that, did you all set out with a list of, hey, here's who we would love to get to contribute to this thing? Or is it, it's actually a two-part question. Or did you have people submit? How did it come about that you got the contributors in this book?
I think it was kind of a combo. You know, I think there are people that we thought would be great matches for this. And then people who came across our path, who we can't imagine not being in the book at that particular moment. You know, it really was a journey like that. I mean, when Melissa and I started this, she's right, we were talking about the way music connects. And it's funny because you talk to some people and you don't have to say anything. They just completely understand the reasoning behind the book and they get it. And then you talk to other people who, you know, it wasn't a good fit. They just didn't understand it. It was one of two camps. There was no one in the middle. Yeah,
it was sort of like, you like sushi or you don't like sushi. There's never anybody that's kind of like, I kind of like sushi. Usually they're like, I love it, I hate it. No, she's right about that. Yeah. And what happened is we were framing this in the beginning as a little bit of like a soft launch and putting the idea of the musical imprint out there and just seeing, we never had to do a hard launch because our soft launch just organically turned into so much positive feedback. And we really just had to stop where we stopped because, there were just so many moving parts to getting the book together that it would literally just go on, you know, forever. Cause then you know, there's a lot of stuff you have to do on the back end. And so from start to finish, it's been about a year, right, Sarah? But it's been about 6 months since we brought all the authors on board and gave them time to get their stories in and then get them edited and then send them out for print and then check for errors. There's a whole process. So the way that the people came to us was really pretty organic. I mean, we just kind of put the idea out there. People said they were interested. We kind of told them, you know, what the process was. And then there would be other people that would say, oh my gosh, my friend would love to do this, where they would say, I know someone who would love to do this. And really, it was pretty effortless, wasn't it, Sarah?
Oh yeah. And it's like a family. I mean, I can't imagine these people not being in our lives. I don't know about you, Melissa, but I really can't. And they connect with each other. And I think that maybe is even another theme in this book. It's just the connection of the authors who they haven't met in person, most of them. But there's this magic about it. There's this energy about the project that's always been there from the very first day we did it. I mean, it kind of just all worked out every step of the way.
True.
It just kind of was like that. Right? In ways you wouldn't think it would. You know, I'm much more of a logical thinker. I kind of make a plan and then go about and do that. And in this one, Melissa's like, hey, you want to come to Nashville? And I was like, okay, sure. And then we were just, we were taking promo pics and then we were asking authors, then we were reading chapters, and it just went. And it just has been probably one of my favorite things that I've ever done. And I think that's the point of this. The music can impact you that way. The connection impacts you that way. And for me, this book is the culmination of all of that for me. It's just this project that I jumped into that, Melissa was kind enough to say, hey, you want to try something? And I was like, okay, sure. I hadn't met her before either. So
Sarah and I connected because we were both co-authors in another book and our chapters were side by side. And she saw that I was from Nashville and she was coming to Nashville and she jumped on the phone originally just to ask me a couple of questions about Nashville and would I be in town and that kind of thing. And we organically started talking about
trying
to get the list.
Yeah. And it ended up being a good hookup too, because I think we went to the Listening Room Cafe, or maybe that was the next.
Oh my gosh, also one of my
So everything from the beginning just worked, and I mean, we both very effortlessly shared stories about songs that we had a connection to in our lives, and I just thought, wow, it was such a blessing. It was just such a gift because. Immediately, I think I understood our connection, and I joke about this in the book. But I said, when I said to Sarah, "Hey, what do you think about this?" I said, ironically, being a brain gal, she didn't give it a second thought.
Yeah, it's really it really does have an energy and a mind of its own, this project. And I would warn people too, because I just sat and read from chapter one all the way through to the last chapter of the book. And I have to tell you, it is an emotional roller coaster. If you want to meet Amy G, read the book because it takes you through ups and downs. They're not all down. They're not all up. They're just kind of like life is, this roller coaster, you ride the ups, you enjoy the ups and you kind of ride out the downs. And that's the way this book really shaped up.
And there were some really good writers, right? I mean, these were some of the authors are first time authors, but it's amazing, the stories. And also some of them are published authors now. They have books out. But one point of interest is we've actually got some incredibly neat people in this book. And one in particular is a country music star. And he's been on tour all summer with Pitbull. And his name is Fillmore.
Fillmore.
Yeah, and talk about a guy who kind of goes outside the box. If you listen to his music too, it's not just country. I mean, he's country on tour with Pitbull.
Yeah, that's an interesting setup right there.
Yeah,
exactly. It's a total outside the box kind of thing, just like this book.
It's actually very ironic because he writes about his connection to Rascal Flatts and the song Mayberry. But his roots are Latin roots with where he comes from and his mom comes from. And so he's even got some songs, that he sings in Spanish. And then like Sarah said, he's on tour with Pitbull. So he's all over the place. And he's a phenomenal guy. We're just honored to have his story in this book. We've got some neat journalists who are participating in this book. We've got everything from, people who own foundations that are doing amazing work out in the community to people who sell real estate to we have a marathon runner. We have a dance instructor. Trying to think, we have people that own small businesses.
Dance instructor who teaches about relationships.
Right.
We have therapists in here. Therapists. We have people who work with court systems. We have people who work in politics. And then all musicians. I mean, there's just It's such a neat group of people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It really fills the gamut. You know, so
it really does.
Teachers, you know, I think that's again part of this. And that all really happened very organically, you know, the people who came through and came to us and, you know, the next person, everyone was so different that we couldn't say no. We were so excited to have that whole range because it's the same experience that, you know, like you were saying earlier, Melissa, you know, you can listen to one song and hear it so differently. And there are all these people who do such different things, but are still bound together by music or still impacted by music in that one special way. And it just makes for a very, when we go, we're very black and white in this world sometimes, at least in my field. I know in your field, there may be a lot of gray, but really in the world, I feel like it's black and white, what's right and wrong. And the power of music to me is in describing that gray and describing the way that you can feel five emotions at one time in the subtleties of that emotion. And this book, you know, really brings all of that together for me anyway, to say it doesn't matter who you are, what you do, you can have multiple passions, feel multiple things and put them out on paper in this wonderful project and then all get together at some point and celebrate.
Yeah. And, you know, just from the language that both of you are saying, it's, you know, it's talking about family and emotional journey and how even once you get together after not knowing each other, how close you can feel just over reading the words and understanding somebody's viewpoint of just one song. I mean, this is not talking about going super in depth into their life, but just knowing that connection that music and emotion bring together. And part of the question, I guess this would be part B of my question earlier, is once you get, you know, you get these authors and you get all these, like you talked about, from so many different walks of life and so many different viewpoints and which is awesome. I think that's shows how we can all get connected regardless of where you're coming from. But especially coming from your all's point of view, how much more did you feel like you knew these authors after you read their story and went through this process with them? At the end of the day, you just got done reading from front to back. Do you feel like not only the connection, but you just feel like you know so much more about somebody just through this little bit of one song and explanation of why it's so important?
Oh yeah, I think that's really the strength and the power. And I'll let Melissa talk about it too. But it is each conversation we had with these authors, we would have a conversation before we, you know, stumbled into their chapters or before they submitted them. And I feel like I'm deeply connected to these people because of the stories that they told us. And then after reading them again, even more so, there's a vulnerability to it. And that connection, when you feel something similar to somebody else, it kind of ties you to them. That vulnerability creates this wonderful connection. And it's really powerful. I mean, Melissa,
you said it. You're exactly right. I think it just reminds you that we're all connected, that we're all the same. And I think that when you read these chapters, you see some part of yourself in the emotion that they're feeling or what they're going through, even if you didn't have the same experience. And then, like I said, I mean, I've actually been introduced to one or two songs that I've never heard before, which is wonderful for me. And now,
oh wow,
yeah. And so now, I'm a big fan, you know, of a new song through the eyes of someone else in their journey with that song. So I just, without giving it away, like there's so many stories, right, that we want to just kind of just blurt out and share. But yeah, and I find myself being emotional about it right now too. And I mean, I'm sure part of that is because, you know, it's what I do every single day and have done my entire life is live and breathe music. And the music, you know, it's being a creative, as you know, Neil and Brad, it just requires a certain amount of crazy in your head. it's a gift and a curse, you know? And so this in particular, like this amount, I mean, I'm typically on a typical day, you know, writing songs or listening to songs. Sometimes I have to put on my publisher hat and have to listen to a song for structure and stuff like that. But most of the time I'm very much emotionally in a song and I'm looking for that emotion or that feeling and that wow factor. And so this is like overload for me because this has been not only just what I do at Rhyme Partners every single day, but a constant of working on these chapters and these songs. And by the way, we have put together a playlist of every one of these songs.
Oh, awesome.
So if someone goes to like themusicalimprint.com, they'll actually be able to see every one of these authors. There's a link to every one of these authors. There's a link to Amazon where they can purchase the book. And then there's the playlist. And so that's been wonderful too, to put that playlist together of all these songs.
And then, you know, talk about connection. That is going to connect your reader even more into the song. Melissa, if you've discovered a couple new songs, there people are going to discover 12 to 14 new songs on this. Because I'm sure you've listened to about everything out there at this point.
You would think so, right? I mean, and you would think so. And I stay up every day. I get Billboard in my inbox. And so, you know, I'm very much, of course, aware of everything that's going on in country music, but also, you know, EDM music and pop music and just everything you can imagine. Because when you are a publisher, on top of being a songwriter, the separation is that, you know, you've got a catalog, not just your own songs, but thousands of songs that you just, if you're anything like me, you're just stubborn enough to think that they're not going to go to waste and that there is a home for all 50,000 songs in the catalog. I'm laughing because it's hard to think, even as a writer, to write 400 songs and think that some of them are, you know, 4,000 songs and think that some of them will never see the light of day and just have to kind of come to the realization that some of them were for practice, you know, because you want to believe that they're all good and they're all, you know, got a place. So yeah, it's been absolute overload for me. You know, just twofold, you know, the music, the songs, but then getting to know these authors through their chapters. And by the way, even though we launched on Kindle today, we're doing a big book signing official launch in Nashville, Tennessee, November 2nd. And you are both invited. I know you're going to be coming to Tennessee soon.
We'll come back. It's close enough. We'll be there. I can be there. Oh, you'll be out of town.
I'll be in North Dakota.
I'll be in North Dakota. I don't know. I'll drive down. Heck yeah.
We'll get some Blantons
one day. It's probably cheaper up here.
You know, as you guys are talking, and I'm thinking about both of your connections to music and Dr. Sarah with the mind connection, it makes me think as you hear these stories, and Melissa, you've talked about being emotional. You know, I would think you're hearing these stories, and I mean, any human's going to be tied to the emotional piece, but probably more so you, and then maybe Dr. Sarah. I wonder, when you hear these stories, are you thinking about the science as you hear these? Like, you know, what's making this song important to this person? Or, you know, what are you looking for? Yeah. Did you see common threads through some of these stories that hit the mind and why they become important to these people? Or
talk about a blessing and a curse, like you guys have been talking about with music. You know, at least I think also for you guys, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's almost like writing these songs gets all these emotions out, right? I always say better out than in when it comes to things. Emotions that are out than in. But for the people who aren't as savvy at getting them out, what's cool about reading these stories for me actually is it does get emotional. You can't help but get emotional when you read these, especially if you do this and listen to the playlist together. You get connected real quick. And when I do read them, you know, I there's nothing else to do but feel in a lot of these, which for me is one of the most important points. And the interesting thing about this book for me is, you know, therapy sometimes can be very much, there's 8 sessions, we're going to do things this way. But the best transformation for people really happens when Amy G's involved. And Amy G gets involved a lot with music and reading books like this. And I'm sure all of you can think about that one book you read or that one piece of music you listened to that really just shifted and changed the course. And that is the cool thing from a brain perspective for me, that, you know, Amy G gets involved. And then there's another part of your brain called the hippocampus. I call him Hip. He's like Hip the Hippo. And him and Amy G are BFFs, right? Because we remember what's emotional for us, right? And although, you know, we all have that Amy G friend, you know, that really taxing friend, and it can be taxing on our hip, our learning memory centers to feel so much. But when you get that magic connection, I know weird science person saying magic, but it's true. There's some magic to it. You get, you know, that emotional involvement with that memory, and then that shifts the course and can change and can really enhance people's lives, improve people. It can be the best therapy, the best intervention that we have. And so even though, you know, we might not have a therapy called, you know, music in particular that's going to span it. We do have music therapy for kids, but we don't have this one that we can't pinpoint that. You don't know which song is going to do that for you. But allowing yourself to be open enough to experience the world and experience things like music in a way that is going to be able to change your brain and change the course and connect you in a new way. I think
I loved really what you said about mm-hmm. music being the intervention. That is like super cool.
There's actually a chapter in the book about a couple kids with autism I would recommend reading because that one's a neat one too when it comes to the connection that music can have across the board. So
Right.
Trying not to give it away. Melissa would be very upset with me.
No, that's okay. No, I find it hard myself not to. And I was going to say, please don't ask us to pick a favorite story or chapter out of this book either. That would be far too difficult.
I would love to hear, maybe you don't have to tell the whole story, but maybe your all songs.
Yeah, you had to pick your own as you were going through this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll let Melissa go first.
Oh, yeah, gosh. Please.
I didn't think about telling you that. This is probably the most emotional because I was actually thinking if I had a favorite, it might be Sarah's. You know, I don't know. I don't know if I'll be able to tell this story or talk about my story.
Okay.
I won't tell your story, Sarah. But no,
you can tell mine that I don't have to worry about mine.
No, go ahead. It was very much a no-brainer for me, literally, no pun intended, whenever I was deciding on which story, you know. And then that's the thing, too. I mean, I think we all could put pretty much a soundtrack together of our lives. But, you know, I was really insistent on pushing people to figure out what was the one song and narrow it down to the one song. But for me, that was a very easy determination. And it was when I was little and my mom was killed by a jealous boyfriend. And my uncle came to my home to pick up me, my brother and sister and take us to the hospital because at the time they were still trying to keep her alive. And so we were in the back seat of his car and we were parked in the hospital parking lot. And the radio was on low and we were in our pajamas and we were crying. You know, we didn't know if our mother had lived or not. And my aunt had poked her head in the car and said that she didn't make it. And I just remember hearing Three Times a Lady on the radio by Lionel Richie. And I just cried. And I remembered I was so dialed into the song. And I don't know if that was a little bit of a glimpse into who I would become or how important music would be in my life, or just at that moment, how my soul was just so dialed into music from the time I was a little girl. But he talks about, you know, thanks for the memories and you're once, twice, three times a lady. And so of course I thought that song was about my mother and I thought it was about me, my brother and sister sitting in the backseat of the car. So I talk about that. Of course, later in life, you know, I heard that song my entire life. And then I talk about, understanding that it was about a relationship between a man and a woman, but it will always be to me about my mother. And that's, I guess, one of 24 perfect examples of how, you know, we hear songs differently.
My goodness.
Yeah, it really speaks to that point, Melissa. Yeah. I remember you telling me the story for the first time and got chills. I still have chills today listening to that story too.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Sarah?
Oh, I thought I was going to get absolutely out of it. I watched Melissa do it so well.
No, I did. I wasn't looking at you guys. I had my head down the whole time.
you nailed it. We actually froze the screen just for that story. Yeah. So you would.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Good. Yeah, I think for me, you know, I know we really tried to narrow it down to one song. For me, there's such an interesting connection that people have to artists. And for me, being outside of the field and not being a musician, not being a songwriter, to feel so powerfully connected to somebody is really, is such an incredible thing. So my chapter's really about the artist, Taylor Swift. And she has actually, I've been so connected to her. We've never met, right? But I feel like we're best friends. I feel like we know each other. She's been there through my whole life anyway. And I just really talk a little bit about the thread that has been created. You know, I think I first fell in love with her when I have two beautiful children now. But when I was pregnant for the first time, I lost my first child about 24 weeks and he lived to be about an hour. And when I got pregnant the second time, I got pregnant with twins. And I ended up on bed rest for, you know, about 3 weeks, not able to go out for anything, not even to use the bathroom. And so I'm just there for 3 weeks. And I remember laying and looking out the window, not sure what was going to happen. Am I going to lose kids again? Could this happen again? I remember when I was pregnant the first time, people would tell me, oh, you'll have twins next. God will give you one back. You know, so they'll give you one back. And so now here I am in the same spot, wondering what's going to happen. And I would just stare out the window and I would listen to her album, Fearless, and that song in particular, which is the one we have on the playlist. And it would just take me away. You know, her writing was so transformative. It would take me, it would transport me to lighter problems, you know, boyfriend problems and these things that I thought were such big deals at the time. But, you know, here I am kind of dealing with life and death, and it would calm me down. You know, I wouldn't have any, you know, contractions, pain, anything like that. And, you know, soon, you know, long story short, I ended up losing both those kids again. They both lived about an hour until I had my beautiful children. But what was interesting about the connection to her is that it didn't have this negative association. And you talk a lot about, do I go to the science? And here's where I do, because you would think that something so horrific, some experience so traumatic, you would have a negative association with her, but it really ended up being more of a comfort. She comforted me throughout that time. And later when my sister was 29, when she died of breast cancer, and she loved herself some Taylor Swift. And I remember when she was sick, we took my daughter and my niece to Taylor Swift's concert, and we sent her pictures, and she kind of lived vicariously through us that moment. And she was a part of that time for us and that connection with my kids and their Aunt Nana before she died. And then when my sister did pass, it's this interesting experience because you're just sitting in a room with someone who's passed away. And that has been my first, well, I guess my third, fourth experience, but really with somebody who I you know, had so much life in her a minute ago and now is just there. And my other sister, my mom and I just sitting in the room, and all of a sudden Taylor Swift's music came on the radio, and I can remember it because it's such a surreal experience to have your sister laying there waiting for somebody to take her somewhere. And it's this long drawn out period of time. And she just came on the radio, and I just was so, again, comforted by the concept of having her there. And that thread has been with me through my entire life. You know, I think even my kids hear it and feel that way at this point. I think I've passed that along to them. And I find it incredible that you can be so connected to somebody you've never spoken to, and someone's music can be with you throughout all of these very traumatic experiences in your life, and yet you still feel comfort and appreciation for that music. So my chapter actually started as a letter to Taylor Swift that that I kind of morphed into this. And I hope one day, you know, that she can see the impact. That would be ideal. And I hope that all the other artists and that people wrote about in the book could see that too, because it's a pretty incredible connection and experience.
Well, you know, Melissa, you would know as a writer, if somebody ever told you something like that and how much of an impact that your writing has had on their existence and how much comfort, I just couldn't imagine, you know, having that impact without the connection, you know, without the physical connection. It just is mind-blowing that a medium can do that.
You know, I agree.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I reach for her, you know. I reach for her during those moments. You know, this is she, I'm pulling her in. And I'm sure Melissa's had lots of these experiences, actually.
Oh, well, you know, I talk about that in my chapter. Do I already have a song out there that someone feels that way about, or will I? I do know that in my world, in my little world of songwriting in Nashville, I can think of many instances, of course, playing the Bluebird Cafe or the listening room, where people come up and they talk to you and they connect to you and tell you a story about a song that you sang and how it touched them and why. And so it's always amazing. And I don't think as a songwriter, performing songwriter, an artist, you ever get tired of hearing those stories. And I don't think that I'm sure as many times as Taylor has heard that her music has powerfully moved someone, that one more story like this would not absolutely be amazing. And so I hope that she will get to hear this. I remember one day I sat down and wrote a song called Ballerina that had been on my heart for a long time. And it was just simply because, you know, I get to write with artists all day long, but the benefit of, you know, being a writer sometimes is just coming home and sitting on your couch and writing something therapeutic for yourself. And, I wrote this song called Ballerina, and I remembered a little girl in my classroom when I was just in like kindergarten, and she's absolutely so beautiful. Her name was Dolores. And, you know, I had a very happy childhood up until my mom passed, but we were really poor. I mean, she was just a waitress. And so I was every bit of a little bit of a Punky Brewster girl. Like, I didn't care if I had two different Converse on that were two different colors or my ponytails didn't quite match up. You know, I was just running around as happy as I could be. But I was always stopped in my tracks by a little girl named Dolores because she was always wearing these beautiful patent leather shoes and pantyhose. And in my mind, for some reason, I just thought she was a ballerina, and nobody told me she was a ballerina, but I just thought, well, she must be a ballerina. She's so elegant and stuff. And so I never forgot about Dolores, but one day I sat down and I wrote a song about how, you know, I start off talking about ballerina. How do you dance like that? You know, and the way you move and all your grace and stuff. But really what I'm getting to in the song is that, you know, I learned to heal my heart in minor fours, and I use chord references and stuff. But I talk about maybe we're all just stars that fell from the sky because I watched you search for home in your eyes. And I'm talking about the ballerina. Like, what is she dancing for? Like, why does she dance? You know, I play music, I play a piano, and I play my guitar, and I lean on those strings for a reason. And so we all choose different things in life sometimes. And so I had that night I decided, okay, I'm going to sing this song. I literally had just written it. And I was like, I'm going to try this out. This might be a mistake, but I'll never forget that night because I sang it at the listening room, and there was a woman who stood in line and waited to talk to me. And she leaned over to me with tears in her eyes. And she said, you know, she said, I was abused as a child. And she said, and the only way that I survived it was through my ballet lessons. And she said, so, you know, I in particular love that part about maybe we're all just searching for home. So anyway, that was a very long story, but to tell you that
I got chills.
Yeah. I mean, and so I think about that a lot when I'm just even feeling vulnerable myself as a creator or just wanting to tell a story or put a song out there. Cause 9 times out of 10, or really 10 times out of 10, there's somebody, you know, and there's a saying that says, you know, you don't have to be perfect in your craft, but you, if you're passionate about it, I think that's what people, you know, connect to. Cause yeah. Certainly, I'm not an artist. I'm a performing songwriter.
Well, Melissa, have you ever written a song that has been, you know, it sounded like that was one that you have been sitting with and was ready to get out. Have you ever written one that kind of have healed you from the inside out maybe a little bit?
Yeah, several. And I have one called Sweet Honesty. And one of the last gifts that my mother gave me, one of the things she did, and I talk about this in my book, my other book, since it's been 2 years, there's been a book in between. I have a book out called God, Gratitude, and Giving. And in there, I talk about one of the last gifts that my mother gave me was a bottle of Sweet Honesty. It's a perfume that Avon has had for 40 or 50 years now. And I remember when I wrote that song was always very, very healing to me because that was, and like Sarah was telling you earlier about smell being the only one of our five senses that doesn't have any, you know, it just goes straight to the brain. I mean, it doesn't have to travel through any other narrow passageways. It just kind of goes right there. Well, that's the way it was my whole entire life was I still have a bottle of Sweet Honesty. And when I smell it, I just feel like I'm standing right next to my mother. So when I wrote that song, Sweet Honesty, but this could be a 24-hour podcast. You don't want to keep asking me a songwriter questions because there are several songs, yes, that I've written that are healing for me personally.
We sure appreciate you guys talking to us about the new book.
Oh, we got to get it.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah, we used to give you a whole lot in 2 chapters. There are 24. That's there are 22 amazing. More. And
they're wonderful. Incredible.
Really touch on real quick, Sarah, the significance of 22, because we really didn't know. We were thinking we were going to go for, you know, more, but we ended up at 22 authors. And that was really cool, Sarah.
We accidentally ended up at 22 authors, which I'm sure you all know is a Taylor Swift reference, 22. So when Melissa called me and we were trying to think, we actually didn't know how many authors we had. We had this spreadsheet. We kept trying to count them and we kept getting the count wrong. And I just said to her, are there really 22 authors? You know, the two of us and 22 authors, is that really? Because that's how we were counting. It was us and then how many other authors? Yeah. And she's like, I think there are. And I said, well, I don't know what else to do. You know, there, that's just yeah. talking yeah, about the magic, right?
We almost didn't let yeah. anybody else in after that point. Because yeah, we were 22, but no, it very organically ended up there. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you know, I hope that these artists, see, I'm calling them artists already, but these authors in this book get the experience, kind of like you guys do as songwriters, you know, and that Taylor has, you know, impacted me so much. And I've been such a quiet fan, you know, I wish I was better with social media and with reaching out and all these things, but it's just, you know, she's probably never heard a thing from me except for to put this out there. And I hope all the other authors in this book get the experience of being able to, you know, be this vulnerable and impact other people and have other people connect with them in that same way that songwriters can connect with people through their music.
Send her a book.
Yeah, there you go. Just
we'll see if we can get it to her really, for sure.
Thanks.
I really can't wait to read it. So the musicalimprint.com, is that the best place, the easiest place to go?
Yeah, that's probably the yep. easiest place. So if you just kind of type it in Amazon, it'll pop up. But we also have it on all our social media pages. But the musicalimprint, .com.
Okay.
Yep. And you can find out a bunch of information about each of the artists that way too. So if you're really interested in the project and you want to, you know, connect with those people that you're reading about, that's a great way to do it.
Awesome. Dr. All Sarah, right. do you have where's the best place to get a hold of you as far as social media?
Oh yeah. Well, I love sending everyone to the Musical Imprint because you'll be able to find all our information. But if you're looking for more from me, you can always go to brainbehaviorbridge.com. That's my website. And you can always get my book, Raising Brains, if you want some unique approaches
it's an
to
awesome
raising
book.
Brains. Based on brain science.
We
go.
Have books.
All right, Melissa.
Yes.
Now you have books. Melissa, what about you? Best Instagram,
yeah,
something like that.
MelissaBlairRowe.com or Rhyme Partners or the Musical Imprint or I Stalk Sarah. So if you go to her lab,
yeah, mine's Dr. Sarah L. Allen. If you're looking on Instagram too, but you'll find us all over the place. We're kind of everywhere.
That's the
right
beauty
now.
And the curse right, the of social media, right? And Google.
No kidding. The Musical Imprint.
Yeah, awesome. Go out and get it.
Absolutely.
Thank you all.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brad and Neil. You guys are awesome, and I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you.